big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to bring back my friend Jeff Reed. Jeff has an online church background. And now if you're not an online church guy or girl and you're into a different ministry, don't tune me out yet, because what we're talking about today is really important, and it actually applies to your ministry as well, because we talk about online discipleship. We start in talking about just different things about what we're seeing about online church, but we move into online discipleship and how you can do that. And that directly applies to any ministry, whether you're in family ministry, student ministry, children's ministry. We talk about different ways that you can do online discipleship, and we get involved with it. And so it's a really great conversation. I really enjoyed talking to him. He's got a ton of knowledge. And so I hope you enjoy the interview. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Jeff Reed. All right, with me right now is my friend Jeff Reed. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, doing great today. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we're on not polar ends or opposite ends of the Northern Virginia, not Northern Virginia, but Northern America, North America right now, whereas you got warm temperatures, I have cold temperatures.
Oh, yeah. The roof is off the Jeep. The sky is blue, and it is a beautiful time to be alive here in Miami, Florida.
Have you ever experienced snow? Have you always lived in Florida?
Now, I've spent probably 14 years in Texas, and so like Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin. So I don't know that I've really spent a lot of snow time, but yeah, a lot of sleet, hail. I got hit by softball-sized hail once. That wasn't that was not a good experience. But life goes on, and so I'm loving Miami. Yeah. It's a little sad. We did not get to swim this year on Christmas Day. Oh. Typically, the family goes swimming just because we can. But this year, unfortunately, it was a little too cold to even give that a shot.
Yeah, I would have not even thought about going swimming on Christmas Day unless it was an indoor pool, and that's just not going to happen. So, well, Jeff, I appreciate you being on the podcast with me. Again, we've had a few interactions on the podcast and then on social media, but for anybody who may not know who you are, give a quick little bio of who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Jeff Reed. I run a church consulting company called The Church Digital. We help churches wrestle with church online, social media, a lot of technological things, even doing some live production issues. And so whether it's like doing a one-day audit, coming on and just helping the church wrestle with maybe how to get vision on some things or work through some issues, or even doing like a shorter long-term contract where I'm more involved in the day-to-day operations with things. Basically, my goal is to help church, and really at the core of it, church online, grow and expand into what would be a really viable part of ministry within any church. Mm-hmm. And so you can find me at thechurch.digital. Social media is Dear Fedge. That's Jeff Reed backwards, DeerFFEJ. Freaks people out, but hey, that's my name backwards, because that's all that was available, because there's a lot of Jeffrey.
Well, that's awesome. I do love whenever I'm adding you on Twitter, you know, I just always have to start typing in Dear and it automatically you show up. So it's great. Yeah. So, well, today I want to talk about two things, and they are very closely related with you, but you did a blog series, and you said it's going to continue blog series, but you have four blog posts in specific right now called Church Online in 2020 and what that looks like. And we're going to talk about that. But I also want to hit on your ebook as well that you just released recently. And I want to go into that a little bit more. So why did you write this blog series on Church Online in 2020? What did you want to communicate with this?
Well, it's interesting. Maybe late last year, I just kind of threw out on a social media post, hey, why don't we make 2019 the year of church online, where we poured resources into it, we poured time into it, and actually tried to make this thing a viable ministry. You know, and I talk with pastors all the time, and church staff, and they're like, yeah, we want to do this, but we don't have time. Yeah, we want to do this, but there's no budget. Yeah, we want to do this, but man, we're not even doing like a really good physical service yet. We don't have time or energy or effort. Why do we want to even try to do an online service? And so it's like, hey, what if we made 2019 the year of church online, where we actually tried to do something tangible with it, where it was not just an afterthought, or it was actually a viable part of our church's ministry. And so with that being said, it was like, well, man, if we made 2019 the year of church online, what would church online look like in 2020? If we actually poured energy into this, what would the viable ministry look like a year from now? And so started throwing around some ideas, you know, of what that would look like. You know, church online is in 2020 is going to be open more than Sundays, because there's more than, you know, 1 hour a week service of what's happening. And the benefit of church online is you can reach people 168 hours a week. Yeah. Another one is, hey, church online in 2020, we don't compete with physical locations. Like I don't know about you, but I hear from pastors all the time, well, if we do church online, then people won't be coming to our church anymore.
Right.
They'll just stay at home on the couch. Mm-hmm. And while truthfully, there may be a very small percentage of people who would live that way, the bonus, the plus side of physical church will draw those people in. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's so much on the fringe that they're going to sit on the couch, guess what? They're probably on the fringe anyway, and you may not really have had them counting in that. Mm-hmm. Church online in 2020, everyone's included, even the guy next door. I hear this all the time, that, you know, there's no reason to do church online because we're not interested in expanding outside of where our physical campuses are. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got an option to utilize church online to connect with the people who are literally next door to your church, whether through a sermon archive or online small groups or some things like that. You know, I've come from a mega church, probably a giga church, multi-site church. We had 5 or 6, 7, 8 campuses kind of in my stretch where I was the online campus pastor at the time. And there was tension between the physical campus pastors and me as the online campus pastor, because it's, hey, we don't want you taking people or doing virtual small groups with our people because they need to be in physical small groups. And there was this tension between the physical and virtual and numbers with a lot of that. And there's an opportunity to not necessarily worry about that as much as, hey, there are some people that just work on a virtual schedule. My small group's like at 8 o'clock to 9:30 mm-hmm. every Tuesday night. And so there are people that, man, they're getting home from work at 8 o'clock trying to, you know, go to a physical small group. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the fourth blog I wrote was, hey, the goal of social media isn't likes.
Yeah.
And it's in context of church, where we're trying to drive people towards discipleship, trying to drive people towards getting them connected. The goal, even if you're not doing online, the goal is to get people. If you're a physical church campus, most churches measure on getting them into a seat, into a pew on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So whether you're measuring by discipleship, measuring by attendance, butts, and seats, those are the metrics that social media is measured against. You know, just because you wrote a really funny post that's got a bunch of likes, how are you on engaging and pushing those people into a destination, into a utilizing that social media as the front door? There's more that's coming.
Yeah,
I've been kicking around one on churches, and I had this conversation with a pastor once, and he's like, "Man, our church online, all the people are weird." And he just started going off and then talking about how it's the in his situation, and it's those of you who are doing church online. I put this disclaimer: it's not like that, but it's just this guy's perception. Yeah. It was all like the socially awkward people who were attending online. And as I dug more into it, I was like, dude, that's such a small percentage. It may be a vocal percentage.
Yeah.
But it's church online's more than just people who need to do that church in isolation. In fact, church online is able to create community, not just in the virtual space, but in the physical space, doing like house churches or physical small groups and things like that. So there's this idea of discipleship that really is prevalent, that right now is absent from a lot of our church online, where, yeah. Hey, we're great at broadcasting the service. And yeah, that's an easy win, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. And if in 2019, we actually put effort into developing that this online discipleship model, mm-hmm. man, our church online in 2020 would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so many of the problems that we're afraid of because, oh, it's going to conflict with our physical campus. Well, if we used online as discipleship, it's not going to conflict with the physical campus. Mm-hmm. It's going to complement what we do at the physical campuses. And so that was really the heart behind a lot of what we were doing.
Yeah. Well, and again, I love this blog series too, because I think this, what you did here was you addressed some of the big, you know, question marks and big concerns that all these churches have about why they're resistant. And I will say resistant, not necessarily in a negative way. They know they need to do this. However, they still are like, oh, I just don't think we can do it. And even smaller churches, you can do church online in different ways, and it's not going to distract you. It's only going to, I think, enhance your ministry to people. Again, yeah. I say that I did a blog post about this last year, but we experienced this past weekend. We had to cancel our services last weekend because of a snowstorm. However, what I was able to do, because we have church online and we have all our videos up on YouTube and Vimeo, is I took a service that we did years ago. I added a quick little introduction from my office. I compiled it together through iMovie and then uploaded it to our platform. And our church was able to have church. In fact, we got more people, because their churches got canceled, we got more people experiencing church and community that weekend that wouldn't have been able to have that opportunity had we just canceled regular services.
Yeah. I tell you, the small churches are the ones that I think can have the largest impact mm-hmm. with church online. And that's a very opposite angle than, for, you know, most people think bigger churches, now it's time for me to wrestle and dive into church online. Yeah. But really, the smaller ones are going to have less red tape. They're going to have less baggage. They're more flexible in what their systems really look like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small church, I say small church, maybe 500 to 700 people that's here in Miami. And I'm currently kind of coaching with them and developing this concept. But basically, here's where they are. They've got an elder board. It's five gentlemen that are on this elder board. The church is pretty much located really in kind of South Miami area, mm-hmm. but the elders are scattered across the city, anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes away from this church.
Oh, wow.
And so they drive in every weekend for the services there at the church. And the lead pastor is challenging the elder board, hey, instead of you driving in, why don't you do church at your home where you are? Watch church online, do worship in different ways, but start planning. And for this church, that's how they're starting their multi-site movement. They're, oh, wow. they're planting these churches by using the elders who aren't spiritually trained people necessarily mm-hmm. as more than just people who are being discipled and have a calling to impact their communities. Mm-hmm. And so this church is spreading their circle of influence 30 to 50 minutes away from where the physical campus is by sending these five gentlemen who have a calling to want to impact their neighborhoods for Christ. That, you know, in the church online, we're not creating virtual buildings, just gathering them in. We're empowering people with the gospel to get out there into their neighborhoods where they're at and to build something.
Yeah.
And so, and this is not a big church, and this is not something that takes a lot of funding.
Yep.
And so as a result, this church is utilizing church online for growth. Now, you know, if a bigger campus, oh, you know, we've got a bigger church. Oh, there's other things. And here's a checklist of 25 things we got to make sure that we cover to do this. A smaller church, man, you can be much more, you know, guerrilla warfare, much more viral in how this and there's freedom in that.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said there, too, because, you know, I think one, I've talked to various other churches as well, not as many as you have, but about church online stuff. And one of the key things that always gets a pushback for me is that churches feel like they have to spend a lot of money to go church online because of the high production value. They need production. What would you say to churches like that? What's your thought on that?
there is a high level of forgiveness in content online.
Yes.
One of the clients, one of the churches that I'm working with, we just did a major upgrade to help them get video and things right. And so there's a number of reasons why we had to do that in that context. But there are other churches that are sitting around not doing anything and using that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. An iPhone is a great place to start.
Yep.
A $300 investment into a Mevo camera is a phenomenal investment for your church. A couple camcorders running through an X2, a Webcaster X2, which is $300, is another way to do it. There's a $1,000 investment where it'll give you a video switcher through a router. Like, mm-hmm. there's tons of ways that, hey, I've got a little money, you know, let me do this. The video itself isn't as important, as I would say, as the purpose and the distribution for what you're doing with that video. Mm-hmm. If the end game is just showing that service online so that people who cannot make it to the physical building are there, can see it, that's great.
Yeah.
That's recently churches have started using this language of the side door. So we understand that church online is the front door. Watch this church service come to a physical campus. Mm-hmm. I see that. And I love that. And that's an awesome way that church online can work. There's a conversation that started recently that church online is the side door, which means I'm traveling this week. My kids are home sick. I'm not able to make it to church. I can utilize church online to do that. Mm-hmm. The challenge that I would say is that next level is, yeah, but there are people that need church online that are outside of your circle of influence, mm-hmm. to reach and understand the gospel.
Yeah.
That will not go into a physical campus, but will go into a living room. Francis Chan, evangelism in the future doesn't happen in cathedrals. It happens in our living rooms and in our houses. Mm. And so that aspect of where church is developing and growing, church online is a major component of how that works. And so it's creating that video content. Doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't need to be flawless, created in such a way that it can be used and distributed on a network to provide growth and empower people to be discipled and to share that with others.
Yeah. No, I love that. And, I love your these four blog posts that you now have, and you're going to have more coming down the road, because it really hits on some key questions that people might have and key fears, I think, too, that they might have about church online. And I love how you transition to discipleship on this. And that's kind of what your ebook is all about. So talk to me a little bit more about the purpose of your ebook. What is it? We're gonna include all the links to it in the show notes, but what is your ebook and what was the passion behind that?
So I wrote an ebook. Now I'm no author stud. There are better versed people than me out there. But it was called "What Happens When Church Online Grows Up," mm-hmm. and it's the simple concept that church online, yeah, it's been around 10 years. Churches like Life Church and some others have been doing this for about 10 years, mm-hmm. but really it's still operating in its infancy. We've not, other than doing services as a general rule, we've not really developed it. And stats are hard on this. Mm-hmm. But I've investigated kind of the number of churches who are doing it and have talked to others, in this space, it sounds like about 5,000 to 10,000 churches a week are broadcasting some sort of service online. Mm-hmm. Now that's increasing as Facebook Live has made things very easy, and churches are definitely using it, as I said earlier, is at that front door, mm-hmm. bringing people into the physical campuses, side door. People who are trying to get them in, or who are traveling, your normal people who just can't make it and get their, get sit in the pew that Sunday. But the stats drop significantly. So you've got 10,000 doing it on a Sunday. By guesstimates, you're only looking at 100 to 150 churches across America who are doing some sort of discipleship system online. And so the idea is, man, we're doing this thing where we're reaching people with preaching, but we're not teaching them how to feed themselves using church online. We're getting them addicted to our content, but we're not empowering. And in the Bible, it actually talks about spiritual baby food and spiritual meat. And the same parallel was in place of hey, we're not. You should be teaching by now. You should be able to feed yourself by now, and you're not. And so we talk about this parallel of we need to grow up. We need to get past just doing our services only. That's just spiritual milk, spiritual baby food. Mm-hmm. We need to start eating steak. And so as Church Online, how do we develop our systems to help discipleship happen? And so the core of the book is that some challenges, some systems. It definitely tells you the why, and goes into detail on stats and stories of churches that need to wrestle with the why.
Yeah.
And then it goes into detail on the how. And you know, let me tell you like this story. We had a guy at the church that I was at who accepted Christ from Finland. And so, like, he was watching a church service online and accepted Christ in Finland. And Tom, I may have told this story because I tell the story a lot on podcasts. But this guy accepted Christ, right? Now, if somebody accepts Christ in your city, chances are, watching your broadcast, you're inviting them in to, have coffee with me. Let me talk to you. Let me get you connected with the group. You're doing it face to face because the guy's like in your hometown,
right?
If he's somewhere in your state, chances are you may have a friend that is working at a church in that city, and you can have that conversation that way. If he's on the other side of the country, somewhere in the United States, you may have a friend of a friend of a friend who knows him, and so you can do an introduction that way. Or you're going on Google and trying to find a theologically solid church in his town, and you're pointing him that route.
Right.
This guy's literally on the other side of the country. By the way, Finland, English isn't even the primary language. It's the third language. It's actually Finnish, and I think it's Swedish is number two. And so, you know, Google Translate, I don't know if you've ever tried Google Translate.
Yeah, I have.
Theological terms is horrible. Like, yes. It can't do it. And so you can't even go on Google Translate and find a website. And so what the average pastor in America is going to tell you is, hey, congratulations on accepting Christ. It's not my job to shepherd you, to discipleship, to help you go through that. You're kind of on your own. Sorry. I mean, that's me kind of paraphrasing, but that's the reality where we're broadcasting our services, but we don't have a discipleship system in shape to help these people grow. Now, in this situation, ironically, I had a small group leader who was in England. I actually had a couple of small groups that were running on that time zone in those involving people from, you know, Western Europe. And so I could easily plug this guy into that group. And that's where he grew in his faith through that small group. And so that's the benefit of having a discipleship system online.
Yeah.
You can, the people that you reach through your messages, you can get them connected into a system to help them develop and get off the spiritual milk and get them on the solid food.
Yeah, see, that's a great story, and you haven't shared that with me before, so that's good. But I love that, and I think the phrase you use in your ebook is discipleship pathway.
Yes,
and you talk about discipleship pathway. Where do you even begin to think about what a discipleship pathway looks like for your church? Like, what are some of the questions that maybe someone's got to ask or process through or systems that they need to look into doing in order to create something where someone is going to be able to accept Christ or watch a live stream and then take the next step of faith in some way.
Yeah. By the way, what I talked about the book is like that pathway should exist at your physical church. Like here's the question and path. Like we may be using different terms, but I hope most churches have wrestled with this. If someone accepts Christ at a physical campus, what is their next step?
Yep.
Are they doing a church introduction class? Are they getting connected into a small group? Like, is there a four class type of thing where they're learning who God is, how to join a group, how to serve in ministries, how to do missions? Like most churches or evangelical churches, at least, you know, it's more than just getting them saved, hopefully there's a process that after that. And so what I would say to the average online church, that church that's doing that, is figure out how to adopt your existing church's pathway, whatever that next step system is, adopt it and figure out how to do it online. If you're teaching a 101 class or an introduction class to the church, teach it online as well, because you've got people who are watching in online environments who want to do that. If you don't have the class and you just do small groups, figure out how to do small groups online. By the way, like the group that I teach, my small group online, it's probably about 8 to 10 people. Some of them, like this past week, was one guy, I'm in Miami. There's one guy up in Bronx. There's somebody in Houston. So like there's wide varying miles between us. There's a guy who lives three blocks away from the church. He's a lawyer. He works late. And so by the time he comes home, like an 8 o'clock online small group is better for him than a, you know, 6:30 physical small group. Mm-hmm. And so you can reach people regardless of where they are, but figure out what your next step process is.
Yeah.
If your church doesn't have one, there's a separate conversation, but at the end of the day, I would challenge that church to figure out how to develop a next step process, because church, being a Christian, is more than just listening to that one service and realizing, hey, there's something wrong in my life. I need Christ. Yes, salvation happens at that point, but that's baby food. When we read scripture, we recognize that we should be teaching by now. And there's a challenge of time and urgency to understand more of that. Mm-hmm. We need that biblical community. We need that discipleship to help us grow through that.
Yeah. I love that. And I love how you just quickly made it so easy for someone to think about a discipleship strategy online is by just taking that existing discipleship strategy, which we hope that every physical church location has a pathway. You know, you can take that and adapt it to an online environment, which includes online life groups. I love online life groups. I know you do a variety of them. I've done a variety of different ones. Give me last question for you before we wrap up here. Give me one I'm sorry about the wording here, but give me a pushback here where someone will say to you, online life groups are not real life groups. There's no real community there. How would you respond to that? Because I hear that quite often, and I see that you're laughing, but I hear that quite often.
So I'm going to open up. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. So I have a medical condition, and this is something I just found out. I have what's known as laughter-induced syncope. What this means is when I laugh real hard, I can pass out. Now, I've had this condition for 20 years. It wasn't diagnosed. But I forget what it was, the Tuesday before Christmas, whatever that week was, mm-hmm. I'm leading an online small group, okay? And so I'm sitting in my office and I'm talking with them, and we're going through Romans. And so we were just starting the second half of Romans 1, and we were laughing and we were having fun. There's probably eight people, men and women, on Zoom. And so I'm sitting in my office all by myself, talking into a microphone, AirPods in my ears, and I'm looking at the webcam, and I see, you know, the Brady Bunch grid, all these guys are looking at me, and I can see them, and we're laughing and we're having fun and talking Christmas stuff. And long story short, and I don't want to tell the whole story, but the Bronx guy holds up a phone with Caesar from Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
And I start laughing so hard, I pass out. I mean, honest to God, I fall out of my chair because I lose my balance and I hit the ground. I hit the tile floor. I hit the tile floor so hard, blood poured through my port and is on the ground. I'm out for maybe 2 or 3 seconds. This is the first time but I have a concussion.
Yeah,
I've literally knocked myself out leading a small group online.
Yeah.
And so they're laughing hysterically because they think I'm just joking around.
Yeah.
And when I pick myself up and I've got a welt, you know, on this side of my, on the right side of my head, from talking, like the tone completely changed. Mm. They would tell you stories where they could actually, you're seeing it grow on my head.
Wow.
And so I'm like, hey, my wife comes running in the room. She thought the bookshelf had fallen over on me. Like, it was so loud. She thought it was just this massive chaos. And I'm picking myself off the ground. And I immediately know, as soon as I see the bump, I'm like, you have a concussion. You know, Amy's like, we're going to the hospital. I'm like, I'm right behind you. Hey, small group, peace, I'm out. The amount of text, Facebook messages, follow-up, joking, support I received from those people in the days after that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
These are people who have lives, who are busy, who just are running through these things. Yeah. But the support that they've got just for me, this group's been around, I don't know, this particular group's been around 4 months, 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's not even like, they've known me forever. It's a relatively new group. And even people that are not in my normal circle of life, mm-hmm. were actually the ones who were the most pouring out and support and texting and even, you know, texting my wife directly, what's going on. And you know, some of it was joking, but a lot of it is, hey, these people we're part of something together.
Yeah.
And yes, you can get that in a physical small group as well. I am not disparaging a difference between physical and virtual small groups. Right. What I am saying is the same community you can get in a virtual space, in a physical space, you can have in a virtual. It looks different.
Yeah.
Like, we don't sit around for 40 minutes, you know, joking and telling stories and then dive into it. Yeah. We're maybe 15 minutes of that. Our prayer times are just as powerful. We're utilizing, you know, Facebook groups during the week to stay connected. And some weeks there's a lot of that. Some weeks there's not. Just like, you know, some a text group at a physical, you know, some weeks it's solid, some weeks it's not.
Yeah.
But like that group, and I didn't push this, they did it on their own. They call themselves family. Mm. I mean, there are people that's literally in Bronx, Central Florida, North Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, several in Miami, Houston. I think that's it. Like 5 or 6 cities. They call themselves family. They meet together every Tuesday and they're diving in. By the way, we just finished James and we're running into Romans. These are scriptures that these books kick your butt.
Yeah.
And tell you, like, and this group of strangers talking through Zoom are now interacting with each other and confessing, yeah, I struggle with this. That's me.
Yeah.
And diving into deep things, and there's no shame or fear. Honestly, a virtual environment's easier to process through some of that because you're not in the same room.
Yeah.
And so there's definite upsides. There's definite opportunities that the church needs to explore when looking at online discipleship.
Yeah. I agree completely. I think there are people who will pop in on our live stream services that I've never met in person, but every week I get to know them more and more. And I do feel like I know them very well, and they're part of my friend group, you know, and with with how advanced technology is and will continue to get, I mean, the fact that you can have a video conference or anything like that right now, it feels like you're almost right next door to you. So,
yeah.
Or right, standing right next to you. So. Well, Jeff, this has been fantastic. Again, we could talk forever about church online, and I love your passion and excitement about this. I'm definitely going to have you back on the podcast more. I'll continue to push out your book as well. But tell people where, again, I know you mentioned it earlier, but where can people find you? Where can people get the book from? And then we can go from there.
Sure. So the blog series we talked about earlier is at thechurch.digital/2020. So you can go there. The book's available at thechurch.digital/growsup. And so that's where you can find that. And you can, I think it's like $4.95 or something on the website. And if you're like, dude, I got no budget, send me an email. I'll give you the book for free. Like, I think it's just so important that people get out there and process through that. A lot of my blogging and other stuff's at thechurch.digital, and more about me as just general with how I can help churches and church online production, online discipleship, social media. A lot of it kind of sources out of that website, thechurch.digital. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter. I think those are the primary ones that I work with. But you can find me at Deerfedge, like I said there.
What's your favorite social media platform?
You know, Instagram probably. LinkedIn in the past 6 months for me has grown. And so LinkedIn is the, and it's not, and you know, churches, you're probably sitting saying, why in the world are you doing LinkedIn? Cause it's not an overly popular one, but allowing me to connect with pastors, with vendors, with people who are in the same think space, LinkedIn has become that. If I wanted, and so I've been able to just pour a little bit of content, and I've seen a much larger increase in that. You know, Facebook, there's so much to love there. Like they've got so much good stuff. I hate that just organizationally they're making some moves that's causing people to get frustrated with them, because really, like, platform wise, that's incredibly solid. And I want to bank and build everything on that. I'm still just afraid that it's going to, you know, disappear and go the way of the Titanic in the next couple of years with some of the moves they're making.
Yes. And, yeah, definitely. I would agree with you completely. And that's the thing too, LinkedIn, I've explored a lot more recently because I know that they've been making changes. So it is good. It's a great way to connect with other people for sure. So, and I hear from people on LinkedIn that I never thought I would hear from. So it's kind of really kind of cool. Well, that's cool. Well, Jeff, as always, it's fantastic having you on the podcast. And so, yeah, so thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks, Tom.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Jeff. Again, great knowledge. He's got a lot of online church knowledge and great stuff. And again, these are things, even though we talked about it in the very beginning about online church from a church perspective, a high-level church perspective, there are things that you can do in your ministries to live stream and to get content out there to people that you're doing ministry with. And so don't think of it just from a mindset of, this is just the online church is a bigger thing. This is something I can't do. No, this is something you can do. And in particular, it's something you can do in regards to online discipleship. I love online life groups. I love online Bible studies. These are ways that I'm able to connect with people all across the country, all across the world, but also locally with my own students that I'm doing student ministry with and their parents. Parents are involved in these groups too. And it provides a great opportunity to push people and challenge people and encourage people in Christ. So I would strongly encourage you, if you haven't thought about how you can do some online discipleship in your ministry context, think through it. And I would love to hear, if you are doing it, what are you doing? If you have questions, what questions do you have? Hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on email, Twitter at TA Pounder, or email Tom at YMSidekick.com. I would love to continue this conversation on, because it's a vital part. It's a great way for us to connect with people and challenge them and encourage them in Christ every single day. We have these tools now. We can do it. So I want to encourage you to really think through that with your group and your ministry context. And let's continue to talk about it. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. And I've got my blog there. I've got the podcast. I've got some vlogs, and I've got the Twitter ebook up there as well. I've also got information about Digital Bootcamp, the free Facebook group for ministers, all ministers, not just church communicators or social media people, but all ministers, where you can learn digital tools and tips to help expand your reach and to help improve your ministry by reaching more people with Christ using digital tools. And so I hope you get on Digital Bootcamp and join us today. All right, heroes, I hope you have a great rest of the day, great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.